We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Welcome to the show. It's Ivy Nation Sports Talk. We're up and running. He's Jesse Stiers. I am Sean Stiers. I am in Albany, New York with the Notre Dame women's basketball team. Sweet 16 coming up tomorrow, my friends. The Irish take on Oregon State at 2:30. Has that showed up anywhere on any of your price picks, Jesse?
I have not.
All baseball today.
All baseball, and it's actually funny because I wanted to look at the women's line versus Oregon State, but I don't think that they've released any of the women's stuff yet.
Not even on FanDuel?
Not even on FanDuel. And this really? Was yesterday. So let me take a double look right now. Yeah, I'm only seeing the men's stuff, which is kind of frustrating because it's the last six. They had stuff all the other games, so it's just like,
yeah.
I don't understand why there isn't one for oh, here it is. I found it.
Okay.
Found it.
Good news.
Notre Dame is a 3.5-point favorite for tomorrow's game.
Interesting. Okay.
Over under 132.
Yeah. I mean, 132.
So it's a 65-65 game.
I think that's probably the right ballpark. These are two pretty defensive-oriented teams, Notre Dame and Oregon State. I think that it very well could end up being a defensive battle with the Irish trying to get to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2019, when they, of course, advanced to the national championship game. But we're staying right in downtown Albany, and the arena is like a 5-minute walk from here, maybe. To get to the arena is not even 5 minutes. To get, you know, like around to the media entrance adds a few minutes. So that probably makes it five, but it's right here. So it's called MVP Arena. And, you know, and interestingly, the Caitlin Clark experience is going to be invading the hotel that Notre Dame is in. At some point today, they could already be here. Iowa is also staying in this hotel because I think I mentioned earlier this week, they're going to be playing in the Albany region, Albany 2 region, basically. Iowa and LSU are over in that one. So Caitlin Clark and that whole group are going to be here. So
it's going to be. Better watch out. You might find yourself on camera for like a 30 for 30 documentary down the road.
You never know.
That's like a background body or something.
I know.
I didn't realize how close Albany is to Massachusetts. It's like very eastern New York.
The Hudson River runs right by here, but you're right. Yeah, like Albany is northeastern. I don't know if it's considered north. It's north of New York City anyway. But
it's kind of in a tri-state area because you can get
New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire's right there.
Yeah,
I didn't, you know, me in geography, not great. So when you said Albany, I was like, let me pull this up and see where you're actually at.
Tommy, appreciate your thoughts on my back. It is, I know that Jesse, somebody, I think Anthony brought it up on yesterday's show. I was listening to Jesse and Vince's show from yesterday. And the back saga, it's actually a little bit better. Held up on the flight. I didn't have to take any extreme measures. You know, no, none of the, what did you call it? The
pocket
the
shots.
Pocket shots. Didn't have to do any of the pocket shots, although they were on hand just in case. Made it like 95% of the flight. Started getting a little bit shaky toward the end because the seats were not the most comfortable. But it is held up. There has been a lot of stretching and, you know, what would you call it? Mobility type exercises that I've been doing.
Prolonged standing, because the sitting is really what hurts.
Yeah, it is. That's the weird thing is standing is actually better. You would think that because the compression on your spine, the standing would obviously make it worse, but I'm actually feeling best when I am standing and moving around. So, I mean, that's actually good for me. So I just being in this environment where you're in a hotel and, you know, trying to get work done and all that different kind of stuff, not the greatest, but it's held up. So I'm happy about that. I'm pretty happy about it. Today was practice day today, though, here and all. We're going to get some football, some Jeremiah Love, some Dela McCullough in a minute. I wanted to pop this up. Oregon State had some practice this morning, if I can find it. There it is. And I'm going to pop this up here. Everyone hears the Oregon State center, and that is her with that mask and those knee braces on right there.
That's a big girl.
Yes, she averages over 17 points. She averages a double-double, 17 and a half points, 10.2 rebounds. They let us in for the first 10 minutes of practice this morning, and that was it. They kicked you out after 10 minutes. And it's one of those, it's not really a practice. It's more a shoot around anyway, because like Notre Dame did their practice about an hour after Oregon State's, or, you know, right after Oregon State's ended. And then they actually left the arena to go to another school to do an actual, you know, closed door practice where nobody was around. But they only let us in for about 10 minutes. But that's Beers, the one that everyone's talking about. She'll kind of be the focal point tomorrow. She is really good. What I'm curious about in this matchup, I think the most, Jesse, is just the experience factor. This is the third straight Sweet 16 for Notre Dame, whereas Oregon State hasn't been to the tournament for a few years. So I think it's it's been 3 years basically since they've been to the tournament. So they essentially have a roster that's fairly young, pretty good, but they haven't been in this environment before. So I'll be curious to see how much the experience factor matters.
Yeah, I would be. So when we've kind of, or when I've laid out my case for Notre Dame, you know, I've said this before, really good home, away, neutral. You bring in their Sweet 16 appearance. You bring in the big stage of Albany in the Sweet 16. I feel more confident in Notre Dame's preparation and nerves than I am, you know, comparatively to Oregon State. I guess the biggest thing for me would be like, what did you think of Beers in comparison to Kittley? Just in terms of like, are they similar sized? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, is it
Beers is a little sturdier? There is a player named River Baldwin who plays for North Carolina State, and Beers reminds me a little bit more of her. I'll be curious to see how physical, you know, she can play, because the thing with Kittley is, This was obviously before Kitley's injury, but Notre Dame was able to be really physical with Kitley and made her completely ineffective. There's some similarities, though, between Oregon State and Virginia Tech, who Kitley plays for, you know, played for, in that you know, they both have a good center. They play inside out. They shoot the three-pointer. You know, that's going to be a big factor in this game. Oregon State hits nearly 8 three-pointers per game. They make nearly 8 three-pointers per game. That is a lot.
Yeah, so I think that that's something, you know, Notre Dame, this isn't new to them. They've played a team that has, you know, solid big players. They're probably going to use a game plan that mirrors or, you know, very similar to that approach. And at that point, it's game on. I trust Notre Dame's, you know, players. I trust their experience and their coaching staff. And I think they're going to get it done against Oregon State. I think it's obviously going to be a bit closer than their first two games, but I feel really good about this game in general. I think that they match up well, and there's nothing where I'm overly concerned about.
Yeah, I do too. I like the guard matchup. The biggest factor is going to be how you contend with her. Can you stay out of foul trouble? It's going to come down to that, you know, but really the last couple of games have, you throw out the beers, you know, how do you match up with her? How do you contend with her? Like, the foul trouble has been a question, and Notre Dame has gotten into a little bit of foul trouble. I would expect them to play a lot of zone. You know, they can't get into foul trouble. Westfeld, especially, I think, you know, again, I think that they'll try to play probably as much zone as they can, but the 3-point thing is going to be a factor as well. The fact that Oregon State starts hitting them, then that can change everything. You know, those are the two biggest keys, I think. So should be a fun one tomorrow.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westfeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You want to talk some football?
I do want to talk some football. There's been a lot of buzz recently about different guys kind of trying out different spots. You know, the new offense being explosive,
right,
quote unquote. So, yeah.
By the way, we'll talk more Notre Dame in the Sweet 16 in rapid fire in a little bit as well. But, yeah, you're exactly you're exactly right. And I know you guys talked a little bit about Jeremiah Love and the whole, you know, moving to receiver, or not moving to receiver, but getting playing reps. Wide receiver, getting reps at wide receiver. Yeah, I know you guys talked about it. But before I left town yesterday, I slipped over to practice at the Irish Athletic Center and also managed to grab some audio post-practice from both Jeremiah Love and Dylan McCullough and Marty Biagi actually as well. And we'll hear from Marty later on in rapid fire. But, you know, this is one of those things. It's like there's always something that happens in spring and it kind of catches on like wildfire. And this was like besides the injuries, but we didn't find out about the injuries when we went to practice. We found out otherwise, you know, at Marcus Freeman's press conference, he disclosed the injury to Riley Leonard. And then, of course, the school released a statement earlier this week as well about the surgery that Benjamin Morrison had. But this one, we show up at practice, and there's Jeremiah Love playing some slot receivers out there running routes and catching passes. And, you know, it certainly caught everyone's attention. And then fortunately, as fate would have it, it also happened on the day that we were scheduled to talk to Jeremiah Love and Adila McCullough as well. So here's a little bit of Jeremiah Love talking about playing wide receiver this spring.
It started, as soon as spring ball started, so I'm trying to take this into the season, or we're trying to take it into the season. I'm just playing slot, trying to get a foundation in receiver so that I could be able to move back and forth between receiver and running back if needed. Yeah. I'm very good out in space, so putting me in a slot or putting me a receiver and trying to get me a ball in space is fits my play style. So I like that they're doing that, but I also want to play running back at the same time. So spring, I'm going to use this as, you know, to set my foundation in receiver so that in the season they can maybe put together packages for me or anything like that, so that I can go out into the slot and know what I'm doing and to be able to run good routes and make plays.
Felt a little bit, you know, like some of the selling points, you know, that they were like giving Jeremiah Love when they did. You know, it's like, hey, look, you're really good in space. We like you in space. You can make plays.
How can we get you the ball more?
That's right.
Everyone's favorite thing, get ball more.
Yes, exactly. So what do you think are the biggest benefits of moving Love out to receiver?
I think I kind of got into this a little bit with Vince yesterday. The thing that I would like to see is if you come out in a single running back or two running back set and you can motion Love out to the slot, and so you can get the defense to move pre-snap really easy, right? That's an easy coverage indicator.
Denbrock likes to do. He likes some motion.
And then if you go like empty or spread, you can start with Love in the slot and then, of course, maybe motion him back to the backfield, right? And so however they have to get him the ball, I don't think it matters if it's a straight handoff, if it's a pass, or Kirk Herbstreit's favorite, you know, the extension of the run game that some people call it on those short screens where the quarterback is, you know, getting the ball out. I just like the versatility of Jeremiah Love. And really what it shows me is has to be someone that is one of the most explosive players on the offense, right? Because they're not doing this with everyone. And two, they have to be comfortable with where he's at in terms of being a running back, because you're not going to ask a guy to go take reps at wide receiver if he's struggling with, you know, his running back load. And so I think it shows, you know, he is very comfortable in his running back, I guess, tool set, or, you know, comfortability with the playbook, et cetera. They know what he can do. And so then they've seen it and said, you know, hey, how can we get more out of him? And so, again, I like it a lot because of what you can do formationally, being able to bring him, you know, in and out of the backfield, line him up as slot. Maybe that's a motion to the backfielder. Maybe he motions completely across the formation, or maybe he starts in the backfield. Like, it's just something that the defense now has to be worried about, right? Like, you have to, your eyes are looking at him, you're changing, you know, depending on what he's motioning, they're changing their stuff. It just creates more pre-snap confusion as well. So I like this a lot. It's like what they should have done with Tyree, in my opinion, what we kept saying a lot of last year of,
instead of an actual full-time move to receiver, just do more stuff with him doing both, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or coming out, finding ways to line up in the backfield and you know, motion out to wide receiver, whatever it might be. This is what I thought Chris Tyree's role was going to kind of be last year.
Yeah, because, I mean, Tyree, we saw it in that Fiesta Bowl a couple of years ago. He went out and was doing some stuff in the slot, but he was also still playing running back. He has what? He has speed. He has that same kind of – and there were already some comparisons between Tyree and Jeremiah Love coming out of that Sun Bowl because of the fact that he didn't have a great game in the Sun Bowl when he only averaged 2.6 yards per carry on 15 carries. You know, it was like, whereas Jadarian Price had 13 carries and ended up for over 100 yards and averaged over 8 yards per carry, you know? So it was like, you could see a contrast in those kind of guys. And that's the thing with Price, for as fast as he is, you obviously want that skill set on the field. You want that shiftiness. You want guys to be able to use their full skill set. But, or I think I might have said Price. The thing with Love is he's the smallest of the running backs, just in terms of weight. He's the only running back officially listed at under 200 pounds right now. He's listed at 196 pounds. Everyone else, with Price being the smallest of the rest of them at 201 pounds, everyone else is over 200 pounds, you know? So this gives them the opportunity to get, you know, kind of some guys a little bit sturdier in the backfield doing the bulk of the carries. Not that Jeremiah Love is not going to have some carries, but as you said, it also allows you to get him on the field and you can create a lot of different mismatches with it as well. You know, like say Love is on the field and, you know, he, you know, as the true running back gets a carry and then all of a sudden you run Jadarian Price on the field and they've got to go, well, is it just Price coming on the field? Is Love coming off or is Love going to go somewhere else? And then Love goes someplace else. And that just causes, you know, some of the things that you talked about. And as a defensive player, you can go into a little bit more detail if you want, just how that kind of causes, you know, different uncertainty in you know, defensive assignments and those kind of things.
Yeah, especially when you're not prepared for it, right? You're instantly kind of scanning, trying to figure out, okay, what are we doing? And then boom, snap of the ball. So it's just like, it's those little things as defensive linebackers, like, if you're not locked in and fully engaged and there's, you know, you're still trying to figure out what's going on and how to set the defense and then boom, they snap the ball. You're already a second behind, a step behind. Right. And that can be all that someone like Jeremiah Love needs. Honestly, like he's a guy when he hits the seam, he's out of there, right? Like one cut and go. I don't think he is definitely on the top of the roster of guys who just the ability to cut and go, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's why he's getting this opportunity at wide receiver is he's a guy who can catch one foot in the ground and he can absolutely take off, right? The shiftiness, the ability to get out of cuts, et cetera. There's no one – he's got to be at least top five on the roster of just that overall speed and athleticism.
So here is Dylan McCullough talking a little bit about this move as well. Jeremiah Love playing some wide receiver.
I was by design, you know, to say, hey, what's the opportunity to get Jeremiah some specific training at receiver, like some of the nuanced things, and not just say, hey, go line up out there in the four spot and run a sluggo, you know, just take off, run a go, you know, so he gets some specific training there. So that's what we took these last couple of days to do. Again, going back to the beauty of the room, you can remove a guy like him, you just keep on going. It's not like, man, you know what, we need him back because we can't run the ball today. We can't do good things at running back. That's not the case. I mean, and me and Jeremiah still have conversations, still met off to the side on, hey, here's what, because everything is still in review mode. There's still things to knock dust off of what he did. And a lot of that decision was based on how he was doing up to this point. Now, if I told Coach Denbrock, I'm, hey, this guy been great and that's 62%. 71%, 52% in these practices, 81%. The standard is you got to at least be an 85% guy to even be considered to play football, considered to play running back. You know, he was grading at a high enough clip that I didn't feel that it would be a detriment to him to say, hey, you can go ahead and go over there for a couple of days.
And I find that, you know, like Dylan McCullough has always kind of been upfront about, you know, the different jobs and the different duties of the running backs and stuff like that. And you heard him there. He went into some other detail about his grading process, and we can probably get into that a little bit next week. But you know, you heard him right there. Like, you've got to grade out at 85% to be getting reps at that position, you know, to be on the field as a running back. And so if he wasn't grading out where he needed to be, they wouldn't let him split some time over there at wide receiver, because it's then, because then it's taking away from his ability to get out there and actually be a running back. But when you look at so many different bodies, and like, you got a guy like Kedron Young, who, granted, he's been, you know, injured a little bit during the spring, so we haven't seen much of him and Aeneas Williams, you know, yet. But the fact that you do have so many different guys who can contribute, I think that this just does nothing but essentially help the arsenal that you have by letting a guy like Jeremiah Love also learn how to play wide receiver. Because as he said, he's not just running a sluggo. He can actually run a route tree. Like, he learns the route tree, and he can contribute as a guy who can do actual things as a receiver, rather than going out there and just being basic when he lines up and, you know, out there in the slot or wherever it happens to be.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I really liked that McCullough, you know, basically kind of got into what I was talking a little bit ago about Love, is like, this just speaks to the depth of the running back room, the ability to move guys around and still, you know, feel like you're fully operational. You're not missing a beat at practice. And then, you know, in terms of Jeremiah Love and being able to run the entire route tree, that's just so good for the offense, right? Because then he can be able to adapt to audibles, hot routes, changes. Like, he's not just out there specifically to run one route, right? Like, that's something defenses would very easily lock onto. Oh, you know, 20's on the field. He's, you know, we've seen him run this one route.
Right.
It's this entire time.
He's going to run a short corner. Is he, right, know, like, yeah, skinny post or, you know, whatever it happens.
But what this sounds like to me is, you know, Notre Dame doesn't, Jeremiah Love isn't the workhorse back. He's not your power back. He's not running a lot, you know, between the tackles, you know, that those sort of schemes. But it sounds like they have a target snaps that they want Jeremiah Love to get. And I don't think he's fully going to reach that at running back. And so then the question had to be, you know, if we want Jeremiah Love to get 30 offensive snaps and we plan on him getting maybe, you know, 16, 18 carries, how are we making up the difference? Okay. Right. Here it is at wide receiver, because again, just the ability, those boom plays, you know what I mean? Like, those touchdown type plays. And that's what it is getting guys on the field as much as possible who create those sort of boom plays, those touchdown plays, the explosive play rate that you see often talked about.
Look, I talked for 2 years that, and someone else mentioned it earlier. I apologize. I didn't start up when I saw it. Michael Park says Alvin Kamara equals J Love. I could absolutely see that, but they underutilized Chris Tyree for 2 years and two different offensive coordinators. Now you've got a completely different kind of offensive coordinator, i.e. an experienced one with a system of his own, who obviously also just came from LSU, where they have a lot of good athletes down there as well. And they could have been doing this going all the way back to when Brian Kelly was here, when Chris Tyree was a freshman and sophomore. It didn't just have to be, you know, Kyren Williams out there being the main running back, especially considering the state of the wide receiver room. They could have had Chris Tyree on the field in a lot of different capacities. And this gives Notre Dame, now the wide receiver room should be in a much better place this year, but this still just gives Notre Dame a better chance.
Options.
As you said, it gives you more options, and it gives Jeremiah Love more options as well to get him out there on the field and be a contributor and be a real difference maker on Saturdays.
Yeah. And what I talked to about with Vince yesterday was the way I kind of think about it is, I don't think it's an issue to have, quote unquote, too many wide receivers or running backs or skill position players, because if you're Mike Denbrock, what are you doing? You're literally finding, okay, I have this pool of players. How can I come up with different combinations of putting them on the field, right? Like, are we going to see a Love Faison Chris Mitchell package? Are we going to see, you know what I mean? That's what I think the fun that you can get into by introducing more things that someone like Jeremiah Love can do, is it allows personnel packages to just be different and honestly more elite, in my opinion, just having guys on the field who could absolutely burn the turf in terms of their speed.
Michael Park said day and night. I thought he said three dog night there for a second, but that's now I lost my train of thought. How about Jeremiah Love? You know, he went into some depth about how he's splitting time between the two positions, running back and wide receiver.
For the most part, I've been with receivers for like the past 2 days. This is my second day. But I've also been at running back too. Like I text Coach Dylan and, you know, just to ask about if there's anything new going on in the room, like new plays or anything like that. And I watch film at running back too. So I'm not necessarily missing out on anything because I already have a foundation in running back. And it's not that hard. Like if a new play comes in, all I got to do is just, you know, contact Coach, what's going on with this play. And it's usually only like one or two new plays that come in, like every once in a while. And then a receiver, I've been with them a lot just trying to learn all the routes. And I think the plan right now is to just get me a foundation of receiver. So as when we get closer to the season, if they want to, they can throw in a package for me. And I know what I'm talking about.
All right. So there you heard him, discussing how he is splitting his time. Do you see any downside to this, I guess?
No. Because it's not like, again, that Jeremiah Love is like your premier back. Like they have 2 to 3 running backs, and it is very clear that they are going to use them based on personnel packaging, what they are good at, right? Like if we know that some guys are better pass blockers, some guys are better between the tackle runs, some guys are more, you know, off tackle runners. Like these running backs are going to be splitting the load regardless. So, right. So it's not like you're asking Audric Estime to go take, you know, reps at wide receiver. You're a premier running back. You know, the guy that's going to give you, you know, at least probably 75% of the workload. It's just not the same with Jeremiah Love. And again, it's about getting him on the field as much as possible, whether that's running back reps, wide receiver reps. They just want, they believe it's like pitchers who have a pitch count, like right when they get between 90 and 100, managers know it's time to get him out. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, Mike Denbrock, the offensive staff says, hey, we see Jeremiah Love as an X amount of guy, you know, guy that we need to get him on the field X amount of plays. And so to me, there's no downside. It doesn't really matter if it's the label is running back, the label is wide receiver. I just want him on the field. And so this is what gives him the best opportunity to be on the field as much as possible.
Yeah. And I love the fact, and you've talked about this before, it's different when you're doing this in the spring compared to when you're doing it in fall training camp. Like this, if this was the first time they were doing it and it was training camp, you know, like in the getting ready for the season, that's different. This gives them an opportunity to see what he can do. You know, and this is really,
there's just way more leniency. It's more relaxed.
That's right.
If an error happens, it's like, all right, we can work on this.
There's no pressure. That's right.
In the fall, it's like, well, this doesn't work. We're canning it because it's game week. We don't have time to waste
exactly
on stuff that's not working, essentially.
And this gives him a great base of knowledge, depth of knowledge, again, of not just going out and running, you know, like a play or two. You know, like Tobias Merriweather, when he was a freshman, would talk about how, like, when they would put him out there on the field, he had, like, especially early on, they had just like a set handful of things that he would go out there and do. He wasn't necessarily learning the whole playbook. You know, he got more of it as the season went along, but it wasn't the whole play. You know, this gives Jeremiah Love a chance to be fully involved in the offense. And, you know, like you were talking, like put him next to Jordan Faison out there, put the two of them out there together,
stack alignment and a slot, and good luck trying to tail both of them as they go different directions.
Exactly. Say good luck safeties figuring out who you're going after, you know.
And then you got big Jaden Thomas doing like a 10-yard in route off of them right over the middle, right? Like it's just, it seems like this is some of the stuff that like we wanted to see more of last year, and they're starting it this season kind of in
where
spring
do
ball.
Go? I was thinking Top Gun, you know, like two jets diverging out there, and the bogey's got to figure out which way they're going to go.
Exactly. But that's how it is.
That's exactly right. Like, literally, it's like him and Faith, like that would just have me drooling. The opportunity to line those guys up right next to each other. That's over under how many times we see that over the course of the season.
I hope at least once a game.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking about the number of touches. You know, I don't know that it's necessarily number of, is it number of touches or just plays?
Play count. Looking for? Snap play count. Just being on the field for X amount of plays.
Right. Right. But as he was saying, there is obviously still a place for him out of the backfield as well. This just gets him another chance to get on the field. And I mean, the comparison with Chris Tyree is there because they waited until kind of almost until it was too late. I'll be curious to see like what happens with Chris Tyree at Virginia this year. And, you know, like what his kind role of role is, he has, yeah. Like, is he carrying the ball again? You know, like, is he, I've got a feeling he's going to be more than just a wide receiver.
He's going to be like what we're talking about, just getting a guy the ball, no matter how you get it to him.
Right. Just figure out how to get him the ball. And Josh says, really hope we see more 21 personnel. And I mean, if this sticks with Jeremiah Love, we would theoretically see a lot of 21 personnel, right? Like,
yeah,
like you said, maybe, you know, at least 15 snaps a game or something, like, you know, depending on where he lines up and all that kind of stuff. So.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Big opportunity for that. Jadarian Price, though, we're going to talk more in detail about here in a minute, is, you know, we saw what he could do actually carrying the ball in the Sun Bowl. And McCullough talked about some of the differences between Price and Love.
Jeremiah is more like as a perimeter receiver type guy. I mean, Jeremiah could probably, he could play, receiver. You know, on a supremely high level. JD is, I won't say he's a more traditional back. I mean, he got more running back nuance to him. He is really good catching the ball. He can run routes. I would say the big difference between them, Jeremiah is really twitchy. Bah, 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 bah. I mean, that type right there. Although JD has that type of ability too, Jeremiah might have a step on him as far as that's concerned. And again, more of the in the perimeter, in space, running routes, you know, is where Jeremiah is really, really elite.
If I've never mentioned it before, I like listening to Dela McCullough talk.
He's a good speaker.
I know. I like very listening to him talk.
Very, yeah, like, straight to it. Doesn't dance around any of your questions. Like, nope. Gives you ton of stuff to talk about.
I remember there were a couple guys, like, after he got introduced, you know, and we were doing, like, the press conferences, they were, like, it came away, you know, talking about, oh man, he just likes to hear himself talk and, you know, pat himself on the back. And it's like, are you listening to what he's actually talking about? Because there's a lot of good stuff in there that he's talking about. So, and it's, look at where they are 2 years later since he's been in the room. It's not just patter, you know, it's
right.
There's
results,
ton of substance to us. It's to it. Yep. That's right.
So I thought the main thing there, the most compelling thing that was said there was, like, the twitchiness, and that's like what a wide receiver is the twitchiness. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at earlier. And I think that's the perfect word for it when I was talking about, you know, getting in and out of cuts, getting, you know, to top speed out of a cut. Like, that's what twitchiness is all about. And I think it was funny. Like, he basically was like, yeah, Jeremiah Love could be a running back. He could be a wide receiver. He could be, you know what I mean? He's just that type of guy who seems like he's just a football guy, you know, just like an overall athlete, and that bodes well for Jeremiah Love. You know why? Because they're always going to find a spot for him, right? And like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they're doing this.
Right.
Find a spot for him to get him on the field more.
Find a spot and get him even more spots, essentially. So it's cool to see Dylan McCullough be so upfront about what these guys are good at, or not, and I wouldn't say bad at, but just better at in comparison than the other ones. Like, he basically was like, you know, Jadarian is more of your standard typical running back, right? Like, he is what we consider a running back. So it's just, it's cool to hear. And it's just, it's fun to see how all of these different running backs bring something to the table, and they're all going to have different responsibilities, you know, on a game to game basis.
Yeah. As Tommy says, he's cross training, not moving positions. That's exactly right. He's still doing both right now. Oops. Tried to click that out of there. I like, you know, like when you hear him talk about the twitchiness as well, and like what it got me thinking even more about, you know, was it Michael who's made the Alvin Kamara comparison?
Yes.
And Ryan was talking about Ricky Waters. Waters was obviously a little bit thicker, and there's still room for, you know, Jeremiah Love to, you know, to put on some more muscle and stuff like that. But like, that was like, Waters was just, I don't know. I realize Waters was before your time, but like, he and, you know, Ismail were together, and, you know, like that whole group back there in the late 80s and in early 90s. And I know, you know, Waters like came out of Notre Dame, you know, thinking like that he was underutilized, but he obviously made a very good pro career out of it, even though it was with the 49ers. I don't see Brent in here right now, but I mean, you'd like, just again, another really twitchy type running back who could do a lot of different things. Ricky Waters and Alvin Kamara and those type guys, just, you know, like the springiness, the Tiggerness, you know, in the
kind
the
of mounts that
those guys have.
I as Isaiah Pacheco type.
Yeah.
As well.
Yep. That's a good one. I like that too.
Cause as Isaiah Pacheco fits his frame a little bit more. He's definitely under 200 pounds. Alvin Kamara surprisingly weighs like 215. I had to look it up. He's a little bit shorter than Love, but he's 215. So yeah, I think he's a lot like Isaiah Pacheco.
He's NFL 215. Like, I wonder what he was
in college.
You know, like at this stage in college, right. You know, was he closer to where Love is right now? Maybe. I think he might be a little bit taller than Love, if I'm thinking right, you know. So Michael says he loves the versatility, doesn't tip your hand with position groupings. You could have two running backs, two wide receivers as a group, but in actuality, it's 12.
That's kind of what I was getting at earlier, where like, you line him up at wide receiver in the slot. Okay, motion him to the backfield, see what we got, right? Okay, line up with two running backs, motion Love out to the slot. It's you're literally, like Michael said, you're creating two different personnel groupings on the field.
With one guy, basically. Yeah, that's right.
I really liked that comment.
Yeah, that's a good one. Joe asked how I got my microphone through security. Well, fortunately, we charter, so I don't have to worry about that. There's a lot of things that, you know, they do have like a security screening and stuff like that, but it's nowhere near, you know, like the x-rays and all that stuff that you go through when you're going through the actual airport. Michael says his hometown is Albany. A lot of Giants. Well, I imagine there's a lot of Giants fans here. We're still in New York, but he said training camp was here for 15 years. Boo. They told us there was word going around that supposedly we, you know, don't walk around downtown, you know, Albany and all this different stuff. It's like, I think every bigger city is like that, you know.
Yep.
It's like, oh, don't walk around. But, you know, you look out and there's like people going to work and the whole thing and went out.
Especially New York. Like, there's everyone everywhere. Yeah,
that's right. Tyler said, do you think Water still holds a record for rushing TDs in a Super Bowl? I believe 5 against the Chargers. I think he's still running for touchdowns after that one, almost, what, I guess 30 years later, something like that. David asked, how do you think that Virginia will try to use Tyree as a poor man's Percy Harvin? What do you think about that?
I do, actually. I don't think it'll be to the quite same extent, because wasn't Percy Harvin like a return man as well?
I think
like,
so, yeah.
I don't think they're going to ask Tyree to do all of that, but I do think they're going to ask him to do quite a bit. And that had to be, you know, I don't want to dig up old memories, but that had to be Tyree's biggest kind of complaint. Like, he just didn't get the ball enough. He didn't get enough touches, right? Like, he didn't whether he was at running back, wide receiver, and what we said, you know, probably should have a combination of the both. He just wasn't getting enough touches. And I think that's what ultimately Virginia is going to provide him, is way more touches. He will be a premier player in that offense.
Well, that's, we were talking about touches or total plays earlier, and Brian NY said touches. We were saying plays. I think it's hard to say, you know, like
in pass plays are hard because like you just don't know what read you're going to get. Running is obviously easy. You're just handing it to the guy. So yeah, like that's it. But like, I still think the ability to line up in a play, and even if the play isn't going to Love, maybe he draws attention or coverage and then someone else gets open. I still count that as him being, you know, even though he didn't touch it, the play, him being on the field and a part of that play allowed for another, you know, allowed the play to be successful for other reasons potentially.
Yeah, exactly. USMA87 asks how the back is doing. Said he just got here. The back is better. And like, I've actually,
I can't believe you went to practice yesterday. I didn't know you did all that before you went.
Oh, you didn't?
The plane with the women's team. No, I was, did. You could have borrowed the scooter to get around.
Well, like I said, when I'm actually, basically I have to sleep on my stomach because of the position. Like I can't sleep on my back.
That's what I did.
When I try to sleep on my back is when it starts pinching and stuff like that. Sleep on my stomach. It is. I've done that the last two nights and it's helped it settle. Where it's toughest again is like when I try to sit down and do work, that's when it starts.
Especially after being up for a while too.
Yeah. So I have to get up. I've had to get up and kind of keep moving around a lot. Let me check my steps here right now. I've got over 15,000 steps in today doing some different stuff, you know. So it's, like I said, it's actually good in terms of the fact that it's better for me to stay up. It's just that sometimes it's hard to, like, stay on my feet. But it's definitely doing a lot better today than it was 2 days ago. Let's put it that way. I can actually tolerate sitting down right now. I just hope that it holds up through the weekend. Got to hold up for three more days. If you've ever had a herniated disc, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's just, it's not a lot of fun. That's what I'm dealing with. Andre says, as long as we can get our speed players in space, I think that's going to help us out with all aspects of the offense.
That's the name of the game.
10-4.
This is what, and if we're going to get real here for a second, this is, I forgot to bring this up yesterday with Vince. And
Mr. Cub's going to get real. Okay.
This is the Marcus Freeman difference, in my opinion. Players like Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, Jordan Faison. This is what has held back Notre Dame against teams like Alabama, Clemson, etc. in previous playoff appearances. New Year's Six Bowl appearances, is guys just – these teams have other guys on the field who are just athletic. And when they get the ball in space, they're gonna start cooking. And I didn't feel like Brian Kelly had those sort of recruits. And we're finally starting to see the infiltration of Marcus Freeman recruits, you know, trickling in onto the field. And then you introduce someone like Mike Denbrock and you have a good scheme around it. I just feel like this is the best that this offense has – the most potential I've felt in an offense in a good amount of time.
And look, I haven't, you know, watched any 88, 89, 90, those Lou Holtz offenses. Granted, they were obviously run differently, but when they had Waters and Rocket Ismail and those guys, like they were lining up in a lot of different places, like one, go look at Rocket Ismail lining up as a flanker in a three-point stance. It's kind of hilarious looking back at it now. But you saw them lining up in a full house backfield. You saw them lining up as receivers. They had that kind of skill set, and you saw them lining up in different places in order to get them out there on the field together. And like that's the goal. Get the best players out there on the field. And I think that this does nothing but give them a chance to do more of that. So I think it's nothing but a good thing. Octavia says sleeping on your back isn't good for you. And don't they try to tell you that sleeping on your back is better for you than sleeping on your stomach? Like I've heard that
nothing's good for you anymore.
Yeah, what is good for you?
Exactly.
Right. Man.
I'm just going to go down the Larry David route. What is good for you?